Sometimes confused by the double standards of society. And maybe I'm wrong about the way I feel. But then will somebody tell me what is really real? Now I respect myself. I respect you too. But in the end it's got to be doing to me as I do to you. Now I'm trying to tell you it's time.
Summer and I walk to my design. Summer and the truth from the lie. To live like people so inspired.
You see a secret respect, humanity. Doing it one time seems to be. We can live together peacefully. If we have truth, we can survive. But that our forefathers have died. It should be moral all our sins. If it is according to the skin I'm in. Skin I'm in. Surround me from the highest levels of power. And you say these are the people I depend on for my survival.
Is this for real? Or am I seeing shadows in the dark? I'll let you tell me. Tell me.
Can you tell me, brother?
Tell me now.
I'm just out to see basic respect humanity. I'm just trying to be realistic without becoming pessimistic.
If we have hope, we can survive.
Damn good reason to stay alive. Is it immoral or a sin? It should be according to the skin I'm in.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk, on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, September 23rd. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friend, Reverend Woodson. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's good to be here again.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Van Nevels. How are you, friend?
I'm fine, thank you, love. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, thank you. And also back with us again is Jerry Carter. How are you, friend?
It's good to be alive.
You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. No question
it's
about
good
that.
To be on this side of the dirt.
Thank you. And sitting at the social media desk is our roving correspondent, Antoinette Baylor. How are you?
I'm doing fine today.
Well, good. And behind the scenes is Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. Thank you all for joining us today. We want our listening audience to join the conversation and give us your opinions and comments on everything that we're talking about today. Or if you have anything else you want to share with us, please give us a call at 804-321-1010 or our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at Tanya Free 63975. And if you want to listen to the show live on any phone, you can dial 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AMFM 247 Network. And let me give you that number again. It's 712-832-2784. Okay? That's if you want to listen live, okay, on your phone. Let's jump right into it and talk about Ahmed Muhammad, the 14-year-old freshman in a suburban Dallas high school with a talent for technology, electronics, and engineering. And some kind of way, when he took this clock that he built to school, everyone thought it was a bomb. And, you know, let me describe this clock. It was made with metal briefcase-style box, digital display, wires, and a circuit board. It wasn't like your normal clock that, you know, is on the side of the bed, a little round piece or whatever. Jerry, what do you think? Do you think the school and authorities reacted properly?
Yes and no. I think they did the right thing by being conscious to the fact that what the possibilities could be. Mm-hmm. And that way everybody or no one would be injured. I think they went about the wrong way of acquiring the so-called clock. I'm sure that the reason why he made it had to be a class project. Otherwise, he shouldn't have boarded the school, or he wouldn't have been asked to bring it to school.
I don't know if it was a project. I think he likes making things and, yeah. you know, like I said, technology and electronics, that's his right. gift. And he just wanted to share with the teachers. Right. So I'm not going to say it was a class project, because if it was a class project, then whoever...
It would have been an issue.
Right, exactly. So
yeah. Well, I didn't... When I watched the news and when I read up on it, nobody said anything about whether it was or not.
Okay.
That part was left out. I have a problem that could cause a problem for a lot of people, and that problem is I process what's given to me,
mm-hmm.
and then I come to a reasoning of whether or not what the possibilities could be.
Okay.
So being that they didn't mention the fact whether it was a project or not,
okay.
I assume that there could be one.
Okay. So what is your concern if, you know, you say you were...
My concern is the fact that... number one, it took place in Texas, and it seems like for like the last 8 years, everybody in Texas is anti everything.
Okay.
So I expect that from people from Texas.
Okay.
So that's where I stand with that. I'm sorry that this young boy had to go through it, but I'm glad that President Obama invited him to the White House
mm-hmm.
so that he could stay on track with his dream.
Because okay. you know the Muslims stick together.
Okay.
Well, we don't have any clue whether or not Obama's a Muslim or not.
Come on, no, we do know that he ain't.
No,
just,
you don't.
I was
know.
Just making a joke.
You have never. You haven't seen.
You have thought the phones to ringing for sure with that statement.
Well, my thing is this: I could be a Muslim. It doesn't make me bad.
Mm-mm.
Look That's at what true. The Christians do. The policemen are Christians.
Look at what the Christians still do.
Yeah.
Okay, Reverend, jump in
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just listening in terms of the young man using his creative ability and mm-hmm. his work with
That's
his hands.
Awesome.
And on something that he enjoys is a passion. And so the teacher immediately, in my opinion, if it were a bomb, would have done something to evacuate the classroom or the school building rather than just target the little boy
right.
as okay. being extremely dangerous, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, sometimes you just have to be patient to get the facts together. Particularly if you have a student, teachers should know the potential of their students.
Right.
And I don't know about all that.
I say they should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should know the potential of their students, particularly if one excels, be it mathematically, be it with the creative ability. So I think she could have pulled the alarm to evacuate the building, even though it was a false alarm.
Right. Opposed to detaining the young man.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
As a bomb threat.
Okay. So you're saying they should have evacuated the building, and you know, take the clock apart to make sure it wasn't a bomb, and mm-hmm. then everybody, you know, go back into the building.
Yes.
Opposed to attaining the young man. You
yes.
think you said you're saying that would have been a better option.
I wouldn't think so. Particularly because he uses abilities just like yes. to design.
Okay.
Something.
Okay.
I like to add to that, from being a school teacher myself, when I take the role every day and when I teach a certain kid every day, I kind of know that kid's personality.
Okay.
So therefore, the only person that I would really be upset about walking in there with something that looked like that is a kid that I've been having trouble with.
Okay.
And he's been threatening everybody. But as a teacher, you more or less, when you with your eyes open, if you know the kid, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you kind of got an idea what that kid is all about.
Okay, all righty. Van, what do you think?
You have an electronic device which is similar to what you've seen on TV. Now let's talk about it from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I have not built one, but I know kids that have built bombs before.
Mm-hmm.
And you would not discern it as being something other than, you would not think it was a bomb unless they had told you. So based on what you recognize as far as a timing device from a movie or from TV, that's one end of it. The fact that there was nothing, there was no other component besides that mechanism would be a second clue, I guess. More than that, what bomber would walk into a place talking about, would even show it, display it to folks as though it wasn't what they alleged it was in the first place? You follow what I'm saying?
Not really.
I don't either.
Okay.
No, I'm not folly because if you're going to do something, kid, you're not going to tell, oh, this is a bomb.
Well, hold on. If the kid walked in there and it had in fact been a bomb and the idea was to blow up the school, he would not be showing it to people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I would be showing it to people and it still be a bomb and just, you know, keeping everybody calm and said, okay, this is a clock and then it's, you know, set to go off at a certain time. And nobody knows it's a bomb.
Now, with that being said, I don't think he would have displayed it as being, as hey, look, I built this clock. And that's what it turned out to be. Someone should have examined it from that standpoint. The fact that he was not white definitely helped make him look or make it look far more suspicious than it actually was. And before someone runs off to, well, if it a white kid that would have done X, Y, and Z, well, there was an incident at a school called Columbine.
Right.
Okay, so it is not... I know he may fit a stereotype given the climate of the country, but if they had just been like, well, let's examine this to see what it is exactly. He says
okay.
It's a clock.
Since you brought that up, you think that he would not have been detained had he been white?
I would say he may or may not have. I can't say for sure, obviously, but I think the detention would have happened regardless. Because you've got to treat this as a potential threat, but if it turns out to be what he said it was, then that's the end of it.
Okay.
Now, maybe I'm being a little bit too trusting, and that's entirely possible because I don't know the protocols and procedures that schools have to, you know, go through in order to deal with a situation like this. I know you always want to err on the side of caution.
Okay.
But it should not have become the issue that it was, but that it has. This kid has now been given a whole lot of opportunities he would probably not have had prior to this, had this not happened.
Okay.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me throw this out there. Okay. To me, the clock did not look like a clock. Mm-hmm. It didn't. I mean, when I saw the pictures of it, I'm like, okay, I may have suspected that this looked a little suspicious. However, I would have handled the matter differently so that there were no scars against this young man.
Right. I'd like to add, I agree with the gentleman over here on some of your issues here. As a school teacher, once again, there are certain things that you got to follow in order to get into a school. I don't know, and this is information that was not given, I don't know whether or not he was on the bus
mm-hmm.
or whether or not his parents brought him. But all schools, at least in the state of Virginia, I can only talk about Virginia, I don't know about Texas, you're not going to come into a school suspiciously in any school in Virginia because you got policemen there now. It's not like it was when we were young where we could just walk in and go straight to our lockers and everything. You have a bus driver,
mm-hmm.
and the bus driver has a person on the bus to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been trained in all of that and all of those things. So if it had looked suspicious, it could have gotten by the driver because, like you said, what it was wrapped up in.
It was probably just in his bag.
Yeah.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
And you never know because most of the kids.
Because that thing was, no, I don't think it was in a bag.
Well, we don't know.
Well,
did you see near it to give it scale?
I saw it, like they said, it was like in a briefcase-style box.
Yeah, it was.
And that's, to me, would be too big to put it in a bag. And I would think that he carried it in, probably, and it did get passed. He showed it to several teachers before one teacher was like, got alarmed about it and brought it to everybody's attention and law enforcement's attention.
Now, do you realize that there were several teachers that were shown this
device?
That's
what I just said. Yeah. Right. That's what I just said. Well, let me read a comment. Tim wants to know if it was a nerdy white boy. Would he have been arrested? I don't think he would have.
No.
I don't think he would have been arrested. I think they would have been so, excited and glad. But I do think by this kid being
Was he arrested or merely detained? I don't think he would.
He was handcuffed. What is that?
That's not arrested. That's detained.
To me, okay. All right. If you, to me, for
it's
a kid,
to
I
me.
Think it's arrested for me as well. You're under arrest for some concern. And like I said, I think they could have handled it far better in which they did.
Right.
I think they could have taken the clock apart. If they held him in detention, why are you handcuffing him? And why did he have to be suspended?
Now, the suspension end of it, I do have a problem with because there's been no justification as to why.
So you don't have a problem with the handcuffing?
The handcuffing,
Yeah,
I do.
What is he handcuffed for?
See, handcuffing, yes, I do. I wouldn't call that. That's not arrest. Arrest is a procedure.
No, no, no. Okay, whether it's arrest or whatever you want to call it. Why is he being, why was he handcuffed?
That may just be, that may just be the protocol or the procedure in that school system. It may be. I don't know.
A 14-year-old doing a project.
Have you not seen the video of the 8-year-old little white boy that was handcuffed in this part of his arms by a resource officer
once again,
in the school?
Because you brought a device or a clock that you made to school, and you're not sure if it's a bomb or not. He has to call his parents, and they would not allow him to call his parents.
Yeah, that's wrong. They need to sue the school for that.
Once again,
you're
arrested,
right,
detained. And not allowed to call your parents. What do you call that? Do you think they would have done? Do you think that would happen to a, like you said, a little nerdy white kid?
It has already happened. It's on videotape, and he didn't even walk in with a bomb. He was just being unruly. He was like,
okay, that's different than
a third grader or something.
That's different when you're being unruly. That's different. Well, this child was not being. This young man was not being unruly.
Right, I understand that, but the little white kid, I think, was in third grade. Was handcuffed as well.
But you said he was being unruly, so maybe he was so out of control. Maybe third grader shouldn't. But if it's such that they could not control him other than, you know, put cuffs on him, okay. You got some little terror, third grade terrorist.
The probability of it being a nerdy white boy most likely would not have been arrested, number one.
Right.
Or handcuffs. But the reality, there were other teachers who saw the same
instrument
and did not respond. And it said that this particular teacher responded differently. And I think she just responded inappropriately.
She's probably a Bertha.
Well, let's not do what they do, okay?
Well, let's go to the phone. Scotty, how are you, friend?
I'm not going to complain. How are you all doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling.
Good. I just wanted to, y'all were asking questions. I wanted to provide y'all with what I know. The young man was arrested. What's his name? Mohammed?
Ahmed Mohammed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was arrested. He was processed into a youth detention facility where his parents had to go and pick him up. So,
and on what charge? Or was there a charge given?
Well, they were making up. They were trying to decide on what they were going to charge him with. Okay, so
that's backwards, isn't it?
It is. Sorry. I mean, after they determined that it was not a bomb, what is he being suspended for
or charged with?
They decided not to charge him. They were contemplating charges of making a fake bomb. Okay. And so, you know, a lot of times you get arrested and the officer can recommend charges or something like that. But a lot of times they will arrest you and then give it to the prosecutor's office and they decide on the charges. So they were contemplating making a fake bomb as charges. So, I they can get creative with what they want to charge you with.
That
but he was arrested and processed. If you are processed into a youth detention facility or a jail, you were arrested. His parents had to go pick him up, and they have retained attorneys, so I think they're going to sue. But this young man, he not only was known for tinkering, but, you know, like how you had these school projection systems that they use for multimedia, he had built them a remote so that they could turn it on, you know, the teachers could turn it on and off using a handheld remote. So they knew that this kid built stuff like that.
Right.
And I agree with the pastor there. If you really thought this was a bomb, then if I was a parent, I would be upset that you didn't evacuate the building. Who handles a bomb? You supposed to call, if you suspect something of being a bomb, you call
the bomb squad.
Right.
The bomb squad. And they evacuate the building and they send in their little robots or whatnot or put on their, you know, blast-proof suits and they inspect it. And so, you know, they just the teacher overreacted and the administrators went along with that overreaction. So, yeah, the young man was arrested. And so, yeah, that's just a very sad story.
It is.
Way that the mainly conservatives, particularly Sarah Palin's daughter, was her name?
Mm-hmm. Bristol.
Yeah, Bristol Palin has been really critical in saying that President Obama shouldn't be inviting him to the White House. And,
yeah, we're going
to
talk about that. Yeah, she ought to just be quiet.
Yes, her and her mother, who, you know, can't even speak English fluently.
Right, exactly.
No, because they speak American, so you know what I'm saying.
Right. But, you know, my reply to Bristol would be, you know, if you was creating something more than Out of Wedlock Babies, then maybe you too could get invited to White House. So.
Yeah, this 14-year-old has more sense than her and her mother put together, the truth be told. So,
all right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Scott. Scott, tell everybody to listen to your show.
Tune in tonight on Black Talk Radio Network to New Abolitionist Radio. We come on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We will be doing analysis of the Justice Is Not for Sale Act 2015.
Okay, super. We'll be tuned in.
Can he give me the link?
Go ahead. He wants the link.
Yeah, Scott, could you do me a favor? Jerry Carter here. Could you hit me up at CNUPE98@AOL? I would love to listen.
Yeah, but just type in blacktalkradionetwork.com and you'll see the media players.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Scott. I'll be there. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Yeah. Baye sent us a comment and said no one in the school thought he had a bomb. Okay, after what Scotty just said, well, the other teacher, but after what Scotty just said and what you said, Reverend, mm-hmm. you're right. It makes sense that they didn't evacuate the building because. You're right, as a parent, I would be upset if you thought it was a bomb and then my child was still in the building, you know.
Let me add a little something to it. Everybody's right, but the element we are forgetting, I think, is the time element. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm just going by how we do things in Great Bridge. You know, you got people on the bus who take care of certain things. You have teachers on the doors as you go in.
Right.
And you have a policeman at the end of every hallway to take a look at stuff. But what is not policed are the teachers and who they are and how they feel about some of the students. So what probably happened was there's a teacher who is not in the loop every day with this kid.
Right. Hold your thought. We're going to go to break. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our praise break is brought to you this week by Freedom Marketing.
Talk Network, it's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready because the conversation will be hot and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide, that's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS Billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid, too. Sign up today at HCBSBilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267.
Reclaiming the Drum, WMXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Drum.
Back to life, back to reality, back to life, back to reality.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Okay, we are back and I got a question for you all. This kid someone brought up the point that they, you know, that some people, Scotty brought the point that Bristol Palin was saying that, you know, people were overreacting. I don't think, it, you know, comment anything she was saying. But do you think that we were making too much of a big deal about this? Because I heard it on Bill Maher's show, and he was saying that, you know, that perhaps we're making too much of a big deal of this. What do you think, Reverend?
I really don't think we're making too much of a big deal of it, because the reality is you have children in classrooms where there's not a healthy relationship with some of the teachers.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's across the nation. Unfortunately, people or students of color are receiving much of the brunt regarding this unhealthy type of relationship. This does not take anything away from the good teachers in the classroom.
Right.
Because there are some good teachers who have a commitment to education and to instruction, but there are also some teachers that are there just to receive the paycheck.
That's so true, and that's so unfortunate.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't think we're making too much. It should be brought forth because there are other cases that are on the horizon, and if not handled or approached properly, we don't know what may take place. We don't know the end results. We are grateful that this little boy maintained his composure,
mm-hmm.
His family members, parents, used wisdom. Because it could create some other kind of repercussion.
Right.
This was straight racism. Because the resource person that was in the school, who I think is a police officer, when the young man stepped into the office where this guy was sitting, he was like, "I something to the effect of, yeah, I knew exactly who it was."
Wow.
Okay, that's what the little boy said.
Mm-hmm.
So this is straight up racism, xenophobia, and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, and also what's disturbing is that to the last I read, they have not, the school and the officials or the law enforcement has not offered an apology. So if they made a mistake, I would think that, you know, at least the young man, the family should have received an apology from the school as mm-hmm. well as the law enforcement officers as well that detained this little boy. Baez says the officer knew he didn't have a bomb before arresting him.
Okay. What,
do you all think that? Do you agree with that?
So again, I'm ultra sensitive to the race card. But these type of incidents and experiences makes it very challenging not to put racism out front. the reality of racism is real. And when you have a police officer who knew that this was not a bomb, yet proceed as if though there was a bomb, then for the most part you have no basic choice but to say, this is racism.
Yeah, well, yeah. His religious beliefs.
Well, his trainer should have told him that it wasn't a bomb, so I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on nobody planning to do harm in that way is going to walk around and show you the thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, when suicide bombers go and do what they do, they cover up
right.
the exploding. Well, they ain't walking around with exploding
flashlights. Well, what Reverend said made a whole lot of sense, and I'm surprised you know it hadn't been brought up. You're right. That school should have been evacuated. You're right, if they actually thought it was a bomb.
Right.
That's so very true. I mean, if they really thought it was a bomb, the first thing they should have done was gotten everybody out of the school. Right. You know, why are you going to take it apart if it was a bomb? And why didn't they call the bomb squad? Mm-hmm. Excellent point. Yeah. I haven't seen anything like that in the media.
Yeah,
you know. So
and the fact that that Obama has gone ahead and invited this kid in, it makes I see nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, I applaud it.
Right, completely. And Mark Zuckerberg from the Facebook founder as well is acknowledging and giving.
And
his
as a woman from MIT that wants to take him on a tour, brother,
and
this
he's going to any school he should. Well, let me say this too. Since we are talking about the Muslim faith, Republican candidate Ben Carson made the statement that the United States should not elect a Muslim president. Let me take this call, and we're going to talk about that. Reggie, how are you, friend?
Hey, Tanya, how you doing in your panel?
Good, good, good.
You know, I remember a horrific act years ago, and that was a federal building in Oklahoma. You know, now, it just amazed me how these Europeans and some of us Negroes that serve our masters very well, being Carson and others, would sit up here and get this homophobic about Muslims. But yet, when I look at the terrorist act that's happened here in this country, being the elementary school,
amen,
being Virginia Tech, I mean, it just amazed me again that who's telling the story.
Right. And they get away with it. You're right.
I mean, again, let's go back to the Oklahoma bombing. That wasn't that long ago.
You're right.
Remember, just like it was yesterday.
93,
and the ultimate Christian terrorist was the Klan. But these same CIA people walk around here with their Bible, and I know the Reverend's there. My good friend.
Don't put him in that category like that.
No.
He's a good Reverend. He's a dear friend of mine, and I know that sometimes Christianity has to take their lumps, too, because these are the same people who stood in front of their schoolyard saying, y'all black folks can't come in, but they're Christians. Okay.
Can I add to what you're saying when you finish? What I would like to say is the Bible toters don't believe we as African American people are Christians.
Uh-oh,
so that's the reason why.
Well, not all.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time you turn around, it's when they have a reason for doing what they're doing, they're doing it for God. It's like, we're praying to the same God you praying to, so what gives you the right to bomb our schools and our churches? And everything is cool with that, but it's not.
Hey, Reggie, let me ask you a question, man.
Yes, sir.
When you say these Europeans, to whom exactly are you referring?
I'm talking about the dog whistle politicians on both sides of the fence, Dixiecrats and Republicans.
And those
are all the same, the blue dogs. These are the same ones that do that dog whistle politics and want to go back to the good old days of Reagan and segregation.
Okay, but those folks were born here in America, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so why are you referring to Americans as Europeans?
That's their heritage.
Regardless of whether or not that's their heritage, they are Americans. And I take exception to the comment because I know Europeans who are nothing like the Caucasians that live here. Matter of fact, the Europeans that I know are at least as down for the cause as you are.
That's fine, sir. But in all due respect,
I think what he's saying is that this is where they come from and this is who they are.
That's true, but they use them.
The dog whistle policy. Yeah.
Well, that's why I said some.
That's true.
That's why I said some.
Yeah.
And I did say some. I didn't say all. And I did make sure I said the Democrats and Republicans. So I did qualify my statement.
It just wasn't heard by the right person.
Reggie, tell everybody to listen to your show.
Yeah, every Saturday. And again, we want to give a special shout out to the video that Mr. Brown did about Moses Malone. That we gave love to him. A great individual.
Wonderful.
that did not get its just dues, but that's a whole nother story.
Thank you, Reggie. We appreciate it.
You guys take care.
Reggie, we need more talk shows, and we need more Tanya Freeze.
We need more Tanya Freeze.
I'm not paying him to say it. Thank you, friend.
Back to your comment about Muslims, or persons who run for elected office,
right?
Presidential.
That's what Ben Carson said. That
black folks that
want to
discriminate against other people kills me.
Elect a president that is Muslim.
But he not only said Muslim; he also said Christian because his premise or concern: no one should put the Constitution before their religion or belief or their faith.
Okay.
That was the bottom line for him. Even Christians, and here's a gentleman who I respect to the utmost in context of his field, his discipline.
Who is that?
Ben Carson.
Oh, okay.
He's a physician.
He's a brain surgeon, right?
Brain surgeon, yes.
Mm-hmm. And okay. His brain needs more work than anyone.
But, so what happened?
But his concern, again...
It's the Frankenstein effect. He has no brain.
Yeah, well...
Scarecrow.
The neurologist has taken a position that anyone, be it Muslim or Christian, should not put the Constitution or put their faith above the Constitution. And I think that's a mistake. That's really... And I'm going overboard when I said it, but that's blasphemy, because if you take in account to politicians, regardless of the side of the field or the fence, or whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they have some religious belief,
right?
But they understand their responsibility as a politician, and their responsibility as a politician is to adhere to the Constitution of the United States. Whether it's the president, whether it's a congressman, whether it's a senator, whether it's a state house representative. And I think he's just stepping overboard in terms of challenging someone to put their belief or faith beneath the Constitution when it doesn't call for that. I know a lot of politicians who are devout persons, whether they believe in God, whether they believe in Jesus Christ, or whoever they believe in, but they are faithful to their position as a politician.
Right, exactly.
So I question him as a candidate for the presidency.
Right, that you can have your belief in your as a Christian and still be able to do your job.
Yes.
Not impose or force what you believe on whatever you're governing, state, local, or on a national level.
Putting
things in perspective.
It's like the lady in Kentucky. Yes.
Right, exactly. That's basically what it is. Yeah. Isn't that where separation of church and state comes into effect?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that Ben Carson was just actually trying to get ratings. I'm giving
talking to the base.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, talking to the base. You're right. Yeah. You know,
because
you have a lot of, you know, that's one of the reasons why the individual that stood up in Trump campaign at a rally and, you know, called the president saying that he's Muslim and that he's not from this country, all of that craziness. And I'm like, why are we allowing the crazy to run this country? That's what I cannot understand.
For the same reason Jerry Springer's talk show is popular, catering to the
crazies.
They're pandering.
That's just so unfortunate, and we wonder why this country is in the state that it's in. You know, racism, the
that's
religious.
A real long discussion. You don't want
to. That's why it's time for us as a people to pounce to do what we need to do for ourselves, but while everybody else is crazy, when the smoke clears, then we've gained a couple of notches. That's why we as African Americans need to pounce.
What does that mean?
It means that we need to get our house in order because we're all over the place.
Someone pounce on us.
That's what I mean by pouncing. I don't believe it's hurting anybody. I mean that our house is not in order, and we need to get our house in order. And okay. now, and while the crazies are crazy, let's take advantage of it. Let's pounce. Let's send more kids to school.
Well, the crazy hasn't just started being crazy. No, that's what
but there are more crazies.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate, the political candidates are catering to them, because if you listen to the three-hour debate last week, the second GOP presidential debate, for 3 hours, they were spewing BS like you would not believe.
Oh, my God.
And yes. I was just listening, and I was just, I was like, how they were talking, like you were like a total, like you were a total idiot. And it's just really
that's
unfortunate.
That's who they're talking
to. That's true. Well, obviously, you're right. That's what it is. And how we allow them to do that, shame on us. It really shame on us.
One of my favorite.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back.
Searching for the best in online black radio, then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24/7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Dinah Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
They had Omarosa on Meet the Press. She used to work for Donald Trump. She was on The Apprentice. Chuck Todd asked her whether or not she'd vote for Trump. And she said, it depends. I said, yes, it depends on hell freezing over. The Real Brother Radio Show resumes live broadcast in October, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com. Brought to you by Quick Mart Mini Markets, bringing convenience back to the convenience store.
Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're back and we're going straight to the phones. Earl, how are you, friend?
I'm doing just great. I am good. Loving the dialogue, and I'm glad that you finally hit this point where I think maybe the country need to deal with Minister Wilson. We need for folks to define the difference between man's law and God's law and how they intertwine. Because Kim Davis, the lady Kim Davis, mm-hmm. says she has her spiritual beliefs. No problem. But Caesar's law says this, and that's what we abide by. So could the minister or some minister, somebody get a minister to let folks know the difference between you being obedient to your faith versus you also being obedient to Caesar. So if you know there's things in Caesar that you're not, that's against your faith, then don't get involved. But don't, absolutely. Jesus never imposed his religion on anybody. So can someone address that issue in reference to the separation, not the normal separation, but true faith from a minister? What is the theologian perspective? Because nobody theologically is speaking on it. All us lay persons speaking. Where are the ministers at? So can somebody do that?
It just so happens we have one with
us. Yes, we do. We have one in the house. Reverend?
According to that great theologian by the name of Paul, he admonished the readers of the epistle to obey the laws of the land. But yet, if there's a conflict between the laws of the land and your belief, then we all obey God first. Now, if you choose to obey God over against the laws of the land, then you must be willing to pay the sacrifice or the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that in adhering to the law of the land, in terms of being a responsible citizen, that's okay. But God has a law which is higher. And as long as we adhere to God's law and it does not conflict with the law of the land, the Constitution of the United States, then we are in good standing. The trouble comes into play, or the conflict comes into play, when the two meet and they are not the same.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. So Kim Davis, for instance.
Yes.
She claims that she cannot do her job or cannot sign marriage licenses for same-sex couples because it conflicts with her beliefs. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? How should she handle that?
Resign.
Right.
Well, next. And I have no problem with her resigning.
Yeah, she should resign.
I respect her in terms of adhering to her belief.
Right, but she won't resign. She wants the law to be changed or some allowance to be made from a legal standpoint. Now, from what I'm hearing you say, yes, she should obey her religious beliefs, but how do you resolve the issue if you are a person that whatever job you're doing and it conflicts with your belief?
Resign. That's the end of it.
That's all of it.
If she resigns, then she's suffering with the consequences. On the other hand, this is much larger than Ms. Davis.
Okay.
So there are other persons who would advocate her position who in turn may have an impact upon the law of the land. And it may occur during her time, and it may not. Because it's much larger than Ms. Davis. So we got to respect her for her position, even though we may disagree with her.
Okay.
The only thing I would like to add is this. God gave us laws.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 10 of them.
Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yes.
Yeah. After that was it. It was on man to make the rest of the laws based on where he resided, based on the need of the topography of the area in which they resided.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones very quick. Saul on line 2, how are you, friend?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Tanya. How's everybody?
Good.
All right, I want to appreciate Earl because he actually opened the door and led me right to the question or comment that I have. And that being that the founding fathers, when they created the Constitution and all of that, I thought, if I'm not mistaken, they put in there somewhere a true separation between church and state.
Right.
They did. Okay? You're correct.
And I think they did that for the same reason and purpose that we see that we're having today, that people are getting, into political positions and offices and they're bringing their beliefs, their religious beliefs with them and are openly, stating it and pushing it forward. And I think that the founding fathers, put that in there to divert from that, to have that not be so. Because, yes. We were considered to be a free country, and you can come over and have freedom of religion. I can come over here and practice any religion that I may, or feel free to choose to do. Whether your political position is or may be. And if your position or religious belief is one thing and mine isn't, then you're not supposed to be able to impose what your religious belief is.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Because you're in a political position, and make me and push that on me.
That is so true. That's the separation of church and state is. You're right.
That's the reason why we celebrate Thanksgiving.
And even Ben Carson is making that statement like, somebody of another religion or whatever, wouldn't be a good political figure because of their religious belief. Now, I know that you have, or most politicians, when they get into office, they have some kind of religious background or belief or whatever, but I think most of them don't make it publicly known. And I don't think that you should.
Right.
But I think the right wing does it a lot.
They do. And if we let them have their way, we would still be in slavery.
Right.
Because that's what they use religion to justify it.
To justify it, yes.
Right, and to justify their political stance or whatever. So I'm trying to find out, and I can't get anybody to answer me, to find out where does the true separation of church and state lies, and where does, I know it's a great line, because whether we say America is, a free country, the freedom to do whatever, we have, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and all of that. I think there's an underlying tone of Christianity, for the most part, that has been, guiding this country.
Okay. Thank you so. We appreciate your comments. Thank you so very much.
Okay. Thanks.
We got Ethea on the on line one. Ethea, how are you?
Better and better. And yourself?
Well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to remind people of Kira Wilmot, the young black teenager in Florida, who also in 2013 got not only got expelled from school, but charged with two felonies for a science project that she conducted at school. And the only thing that she got in return for it was that she could, this was an honor student with a, with perfect attendance and behavior. Mm-hmm. That everybody, the teacher, the principal, even the superintendent admitted, did not think that she had intended to do harm to anyone, but to advance the zero tolerance and the lesson that, quote unquote, children must be taught that actions have consequences. She was expelled from school. She was charged with two felonies.
Wow.
In addition to that.
Were they ever dropped?
No. And she had to finish her she was a 16-year-old, like seniors of junior or senior, but she had to finish her graduation, her work, her school work, in an alternative school.
Mm.
So I think, you know, I can't help but raise the question of gender on that point. And I would add even the question of race as it is addressed to non-indigenous Africans,
mm-hmm.
non-descendants of Africans enslaved in North America. The kid that you all are talking about, the young man who should not have been treated in the manner he was, is a Pakistani.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the whole thing is very important, is very significant, and I just wanted to make it a point of raising the gender issue, as well as the issue of being the descendant of of enslaved Africans, and how we are routinely treated differently.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this before we go to a break. I would hope her parents would write the president and bring this to his attention. Since
we should bring it to his attention.
Well, definitely, I'm saying definitely the parents, being that she was not given any support. Mm-hmm. Or, and the media didn't, you know, bring it to our attention as well. I hope that, you know, as a result of this incident we're talking about with Ahmet, that her family would bring it to the president's attention, and that they get everything removed off her record and give her a clean mm-hmm. slate. That's one of the things I definitely, as a parent, I would do. And as well, they should go to the media. And what you just said, how we are treated differently, you know, from a gender standpoint as well as race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put that on the table.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for that information.
We appreciate that, Fia. Thank you so much.
I appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I mentioned a few minutes ago about pouncing,
right?
It encompasses a lot of situations. One situation she just talked about, but the way to cure that situation is we don't buy the Journal and Guide in the Richmond Afro anymore, so we don't have anyone to talk on our behalf anymore.
Or we don't read it. We want to see, you know,
some
a lot
of
the.
Yeah. We need
hope.
To invest in our press.
True.
And we don't. At the time when I was a young boy and I had a little wagon and I was knocking on doors, the Journal and Guide, African Americans couldn't wait to get that newspaper, even though they got the regular newspaper on a daily basis. But that's how I found out about who was playing football, the schools down here, Armstrong and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was about black culture. It was about us.
Well, we do have a paper like that, and it's called The Final Call.
Well, we need to do something about pushing that thing out and making it a statewide or regional wide, so that we can all be on the same sheet.
Same page.
We have the call. We have the Free Press.
Free Press.
We have the Voice.
Urban News. Yeah.
The Urban News, and right. You also have the Vibes on North Side.
Mm-hmm.
There are various venues in terms of the written media, but I think we need a mechanism such as this,
right.
This talk show.
Yeah, that we just need one newspaper. And then that
I think more than one. But let's do this. We got to take a break. We got to go to Black Talk Commentary, our friend Scotty Reed.
Last week, Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Keith Ellison held a press conference in Washington, D.C. to announce the introduction of the Justice is Not for Sale Act 2015. The bill, if passed and signed into law, would eliminate or abolish private prisons and jails in the United States. The bill will also end the ICE quota system that has led to the racial profiling of Hispanics. The bill will end the high fees prisoners and their families pay private corporations to send money or make phone calls and provide federal oversight of the industry. The bill would restore the federal parole system to what it was before President Reagan signed a bill into law in 1984 that requires federal prisoners to do 85% of a sentence before consideration for parole. Interestingly, Reagan's administration was also the first to allow widespread utilization of private prisons in the United States. While Sanders and Ellison admit that many more reforms are needed in the criminal justice system overall, but if passed, a bill that would abolish the private prison system could have a tremendous impact on mass incarceration policies that, for the most part, were written by the private prison corporations and pushed to legislators through the private prison lobby of ALEC. While several reporters attended the press conference announcing the Justice is Not for Sale Act last week, mainstream media has barely mentioned the newsworthy announcement. The big alphabet news corporations like ABC, NBC, Fox News, and other 24/7 cable news outlets have yet to host any panel discussions on the merits of the legislation or providing any political analysis of the bill. One has to wonder why this is. Why are so many news outlets failing to provide meaningful coverage of the biggest piece of federal legislation in criminal justice history since the crack cocaine 100-to-1 disparity was cut down to 18-to-1, which led to the release of very few prisoners locked up under discriminatory laws? This is due to the changes of the aforementioned legislation passed by Reagan that severely restricted the federal parole system under the guise of sentencing reform. Could it be the big news corporations through some of their subsidiaries are invested in the private prison system, or did they get a call from the corporate advertisers like Walmart and others utilizing prison labor in their business practices? Who can say, but one thing is for sure, the lack of coverage is disconcerting to say the least. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Join me and other independent black media producers at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 a.m. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's Get Busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM 1450 AM.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit DreadheadStudio.com. Located at 133 East Belt Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. The American Heart Association reminds us that regular exercise can lead to a healthier heart. Try to be more active during the day. Walking is a great start. Walking the malls before shopping and taking the stairs instead of the elevator are great tips for a healthier you. Remember to always get your healthcare professional's approval before starting any exercise routine. Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com. On air, online, and on point.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. Okay, Ben, you had a comment before we went to break.
Yeah, I've been, I hope I can articulate it quippy and smoothly, but going back to Ben Carson and his opinion about Muslims being president, I love irony. The irony in this, he wants to stand up and be the president of the United States of the entire country, which is made up of a bunch of religions. But he doesn't want to practice it in such a way that is consistent with that office. He would like something more towards the theocracy and less like a democracy. And the irony is that the attitude he has about Muslims is because they come from a largely theocratic governing system. So what is he trying to do? Is he trying to fight that sort of fire with similar fire of his own? You dig what I'm saying?
Right. I think he's basically catering to his base, because we just saw across the screen that money is pouring in to his campaign. because of this statement, because of that statement that he made with, you know, with regards to not having a Muslim president.
The crazy thing about religious organizations or just religions, religious people, is that they will get involved in a situation where they will claim to be oppressed and having their rights trampled on and so on and so on, while at the exact same time, simultaneously, as I'd be redundant, they'll do the same thing to another group of people, which is exactly what's happening with this chick in Kentucky.
Right, Kim Davis.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. No. Whoa. I don't think so. What this lady in Kentucky is doing is making a statement.
Yes.
And the statement is, because of what she believes, she will not function according to the guidelines, the rules, and regulations of her profession.
Then it's real simple. She needs to step down.
And by doing so,
she needs to step down.
Right.
Instead, she is making a whole bunch of hoopla for the mere fact she gets attention. You know, she's having her Sarah Palin moment.
Is she making a hoopla or is the media?
She's making it to get the
media. She's making a hoopla. She's having her Sarah Palin moment.
I think she should get a job in heaven. That's what I think she should do. If she need a job that bad, she need to go to heaven and get one.
Well, you know, there's a street. There's a street that's called heaven.
I just call it where it is. I ain't going to walk around it.
You know,
I'm not going to ask you where you can walk, but anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Reverend.
It's not so much what you agree or disagree. I think we have to just learn to respect certain folk. Same thing with Muhammad Ali, as I stated before.
Right.
He chose not to go into the military.
Right.
And based upon the consequences.
Right. That's all.
Well,
she wants to have it her way. She thinks it's Burger King.
But the fact that he refused to join the army has no impact on anybody else but Muhammad Ali. This lady refusing to do her job has an impact on people who see the world a little bit different than the way we see it.
Exactly.
She's a public servant.
Take a step further, which you said.
A taxpayer, public servant.
How about what would happen if you had her as president and she were to say, oh, I can't, you know, make this ruling because it goes against my belief? Then what?
They could have you back in chains based on such beliefs. Exactly.
If she'd have made that statement as president of the United States based on her belief, then all they have to do is do what to them? Excommunicate or impeach?
Impeach. They excommunicate. Well,
and that's the thing. That's the thing. Being that she is an elected official and she cannot be fired, she needs to step down.
Yeah, she should.
No question about that.
Okay.
Do you see now why I said what I said in the way? Sir. Do you see why?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Carter sees it.
No, see why I said it? She's claiming. She's claiming she's being discriminated against or treated badly because of her religious beliefs.
Okay? I agree. But
she's treating other folks badly at the same time because of who they are.
Right.
And when the cops stop me because I drive a red car, they're discriminating against me because of my religious belief. I have the right to drive a red car.
Right.
I don't see how that's religion, but
okay.
If it's a Ferrari, I can
The fundamental principle is the same.
That's all I'm
saying. Or if they were to say, okay, I'm going to pull you over because of my religious belief, you shouldn't be driving a red car.
Yeah.
It's you know, they it's a sign of the devil, and I got to pull you over.
Yeah, they call it routine check.
Yeah.
It's a routine check.
Right.
When they pull you over.
So, Reverend, how driving should they be handled?
Well, I think this being a on the edge of fanaticism when you start talking about a car because it's red and the sign of the devil. Fanaticism.
The police are the sign of the devil to me at that particular moment.
Yes.
Because I'm out there by myself
and
I'm out of my business.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, let's move on. Last week, like I said, I think I mentioned earlier that they had the second Republican presidential debate. And I watched the whole thing because I just could not believe as to what they were spewing is just unbelievable. And I just felt, of course, insulted. And I'm like, okay, they didn't talk about unemployment. They didn't talk about the economy.
No, they
didn't talk about jobs. They didn't talk about any of that.
Or money.
You know, and I'm like, okay, listening to it, you really have to be a complete idiot to believe anything they were saying. And it's just amazing. We were talking earlier how they are catering to their base and how we are letting the base that, you know, little knowledge or if any knowledge run this country because they don't mind giving their money, you know, to put the person in office.
They'll put anybody in office.
Say what?
They'll put anybody in office that believes in what they believe in.
Yeah, that's really
and that's cool. And I like that from the standpoint of there are far too few of those uninformed folks in order to get those people to the White House. So please let them continue. Keep it going. I want to hear Trump until he dies. Yeah.
Can I say something? What is so bewildering about the whole thing to me, and I'm going to put it out there, you don't like Obama because he's black. So what is Ben Carson going to do? Why would you put him out there and you don't like Obama? What's the difference?
Well, it's a big difference. His way of thinking.
He's all right. He's one of them. He's all right.
One of who?
He's one of them.
Who are them?
So those
people
those
with
black
lack
folks,
of knowledge. People with lack of knowledge.
Those black folks
that are supporting him. That's what you're talking about?
For the most part, but more than that, he would be something of under the illusion of inclusion.
I got you.
You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I can relate.
I understand that, but when you said them.
Well, you ain't one of them, is you?
No, I am a servant of the Most High God.
Okay.
And I have a particular conviction in terms of who I want to represent.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The bottom line, at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding when we go to the polls to vote.
Right.
So this is just a prelude.
This is just a really cool reality show.
Yes, that's all this is.
About like most presidential but elections
year,
and so on going on anyway.
2016,
yes,
you want to
know. But the unfortunate part is that we are not hearing the real issues, anything of substance.
Good, no. Good.
If anybody
good.
With substance, they only had basically probably two people up on that podium that wanted to talk about anything of substance. And that one of the persons that I think was the Ohio governor.
Kasich?
Yeah, Kasich, how you pronounce his
last
name.
He got a little something with him, too.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying...
That goes back to the financial crisis.
Well, like I said, he wanted to talk about substance.
Yes.
Carly Fiorina, no. Real Fiorina, no. She had answers and that sort of thing.
And it sounded
but to
great.
Me, yeah, it sounded great, but she's a scary young lady. And my question is this. She and Donald Trump both are from a business background
mm-hmm.
and have never served in a public office. Do you all think that should qualify them as president, being that they have not served in public office before?
Should it disqualify?
Public office, as far as president is concerned.
I would say yes, but I would also say that you can't run a country like you run a business.
Right.
Because our businesses run for one reason and one reason only, to make money. Okay.
But you can use some business principles.
You definitely can.
In terms of decision-making process.
You put them in your cabinet.
Yeah.
Right.
But they lack...
But wouldn't that be scary to elect someone as president if they have never held a political office before?
It would scare me.
Nowadays...
Yeah. Because then it's... For them, it's
trial
and error.
It's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword.
Yes.
The issue with elected officials is that they are now a part of the game, a part of the system.
Right.
That's an issue by itself. So the natural Pavlovian reaction to it would be to hire someone that has never been infected with the system or by the system.
But what I'm saying is how okay
to play the game. And you
Carly, when she was CEO of
Hewlett Packard,
you know, folks were laid off. They made bad investments. Do you all feel comfortable with that? Being that, like I said, once again, she has no political experience, and her business experience is not that great.
More so, the business experience not being great. Rather than not being in the politics at all.
Really?
Because Ronald Reagan, before he was the president...
He was governor.
He had
a political office.
But before he was a governor, he did not have any political office at all.
And no. That's fine. You have to come from somewhere. Well, but I'm saying to go straight to president. I'm talking about going straight to president and having no political experience. That scares me.
You got a good point. See, everybody loves Reaganism. All the Republicans preach Reaganism.
Oh, yeah, they mentioned that several times during the debate last week. I mean, they were throwing his name out. Right.
Reagan wouldn't survive.
But here's the other thing. Everybody who agrees with Reaganism, that's the reason why we have been in so many wars, because we believe in Reaganism, which shows you that Reaganism does not work.
Well, more than that, Reagan would not survive this political climate any damn way. Let's understand that first and foremost. Then there's the cowboy actor thing and so on, but he was also a bit of a spy for the CIA, pointing out amongst his fellow thespians who is and who could be communists back then. That's so right. Let's put that into perspective as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all got on my case about, you know, why I watched the whole thing. The reason I watched the whole thing, because when they throw out terms like Reagan and they talk about different things, a lot of those talking points,
mm-hmm. I write them down. That's all they are.
Well, I go back and I write it down. I write it down to understand the language and what they're saying, because I think one of our downfalls is that they're speaking, they're talking about things we have not a clue.
Have not a clue. Yeah, you're right.
And it's important that we understand what's going on, what they're saying, what the talking points are, and we determine for ourselves, do some investigation or some research, and find out what the real truth is.
Mm-hmm.
What Bush was about, what Reaganism is about. Mm-hmm. You know,
Reaganism is about the trickle-down theory that does not
right,
work.
Exactly.
If you notice that nobody from Harvard or any Ivy League school or anyone who has anything to do with...
Let me take a break and be right back.
And I've been awakened by a story my mind is telling my heart. It's saying, baby, don't you worry.
You worry.
You never have to fear.
Never have to fear, baby.
It's telling me to rest my weary soul and let my spirit heal.
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend.
Huh?
The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
The Republican Party on the Iran deal. Is Obama still black? Okay then, it's a bad deal.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
6 p.m. Eastern on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip. Dreading the start of the new school year? A stressful time for parents of children with behavioral challenges. Call the Metropolitan Day School. Don't go through another year of failing grades, phone calls from the principal, and frequent suspensions. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited. 804-321-2595. Financial assistance available. Start the school year off right at the Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar. Don't wait. Call Ms. Thomas today at 804-321-2595.
We'll be right back.
The conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
You were making a comment before we went to break with regards to Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, I was talking about Reaganism and how, you know, as much as they talk about Reaganism, the Republicans all the time, trickle-down economics does not work and has been proven. But the Republicans have never put anybody behind a microphone or took a camera into any Ivy League college that was dealing with finance to prove that trickle-down economics really and truly work.
That doesn't. They don't have to. We already know the answer to the question.
I'm just saying.
Their base do not care. Their base do not care.
And they are care. And they are the victims of it along with us.
And they're the
exactly. Victim. And that's the sad part about it.
Yeah.
And once again, a lack of knowledge. What does it say? Our people perish, and all of us have to suffer for that.
Absolutely.
Let me read some of the comments with regards to whether or not business experience in the absence of political experience is adequate to be president of the United States. And Nuance said they both have no business being on the stage with Bush and Rubio. Okay. Lacey said, why are you wasting time on these clowns? Okay. Once again, I think it's important that we listen to both sides, because I've been guilty of just listening to one side and having no clue what the other side is saying. And in my opinion, it has hurt me far as not knowing what's going on and not being able to know what I want the other side to do or working against. So, you know, that sort of thing. I just think we need to be fully informed what's going on both sides. Brooke said, no, we will be in trouble with either of these. Justin Morris said, no. Longtime listener said, no, we will be in war and facing financial ruin in 60 days.
That's right.
Baye Kamboy said, having firsthand experience is fixing problems with private and public sector organizations is another life. I can tell you that leadership fundamentals matter most, and no sector has a monopoly on good leadership. Okay. Robert Brown said, management may be transferable, but these two have less than stellar records. Okay, and we said that earlier. Trudy said, surrounding yourself with people smarter than you can substitute. Not feeling these two. Just remember, Obama had very limited experience. Okay,
but he was elected to
right. He
office.
Did have political experience. Yep. Right.
I still say he was selected, not so much elected. But anyway.
Okay, Jesse said there just seems to be so many of them. What about Ben Carson saying a Muslim should never be president? Does he realize that even though he is brilliant, is a brilliant surgeon, he is still black? How about those that still feel that a black shouldn't be president? Okay,
or a woman.
Yeah, or a woman, yeah.
Or a black woman.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it. I hope that people will not be so quick to want to put a woman in office, and we pick the wrong woman to put in office.
Well,
and that includes Hillary.
We should not even look at it like that. We should take the gender out and look at the person.
Well, I've heard a lot about, oh, we got to get a woman. I've heard a lot about that. And I think that's one of the reasons why Hillary thinks she has this thing in the bag.
She doesn't.
Right. She does. I think she's seeing that now. Yeah. So
Bernie's going to take that.
I don't know about that. Not if Joe Biden gets into it.
Joe Biden might.
Because he's already getting, you know, they're polling him now. He's not even in it yet.
Yeah.
Right.
And honestly, I hope he does get in, because I know when they have the first Democratic debate. Yeah, I like her too. But she's waiting.
Yeah.
She's Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, she's waiting. Now, if she were to get in it, I think she would take it because a lot of people like myself is not feeling Hillary after this email scandal. And honestly, when the first Democratic debate comes up, it's going to be boring as all get out.
I'm going to tell you I'm going to tell you the winning ticket. Period. Biden and Warren.
I think.
Oh yeah, that would be. Oh yeah, it would.
End of story.
Yeah, I would actually go out and campaign for them myself, I did for President Obama the first time. But anyway,
I did the same thing. Plus, I pay $100 a month to his campaign. Still,
you did. You were very generous.
Well, I don't usually do that, but I felt like. He looks like me, so I've been.
I was about to say you only did it because he's black.
Now let me ask this question: Are you pleased with? Are you pleased with his performance?
Yes, I am.
Okay, both terms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am. I voted for him because he looks like me. All my life, I've been voting for people who don't look like me, and he did a better job.
Okay, so let me ask this question: would you vote for Ben Carson because he looked like you?
No.
Okay.
And see, this is the first.
No.
Which makes it.
If he had something to say, I would.
I'm wrong.
No, you got something.
I'm wrong. Shirley Chisholm ran.
Shirley Chisholm was off the hook.
Jesse Jackson. Yeah.
Jesse. Yeah.
But Shirley, she was a viable candidate.
Yeah.
So Obama was not the first to run for the presidency. But,
thank you. They say Reverend, thank you.
They say Bill Clinton was the first black to run.
Don't even say that.
You better be careful with a white man.
Yeah,
I know. I heard this. This was on a. African American show, so
okay.
Okay, Jesse said there just seems to be too many of them. Did I read that one already? I did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Longtime listener said, I think a new question should be whether your listeners would vote for a Muslim, considering the support Carson is receiving. Is hating Islam what Jesus and being a Christian is about?
No, never.
Well, I don't think that a lot of our listeners and a lot of people realize how many. African Americans are Muslims, but they go to Christian churches.
Okay.
Could you say more about that?
Yeah, seriously.
I didn't know that.
There's a lot of people who are more or less in a vacuum because they don't know which way to turn. Why is it? I read an article the other day, why isn't it more black men in the church? Mm-hmm. And my answer to that is that they're not feeling Christianity.
Well, go back to what you said just now. If you are Muslim, why would you go to a Christian?
They don't go to church. They don't go to,
okay.
Most of those people don't go to church at all because they are not sure. Or if they go to church, it's because their wives take them to church with them, and they've been doing it ever since they were going to church with their grandparents. But they're not sure. You can go to any church, and you see women all over the place, and maybe little young boys with their grandma, but you won't see granddaddy.
But you said there are Muslims that go to.
There are a lot of Muslims that have been incarcerated. There are a lot of people who have not been incarcerated that read the Holy Quran, and they rather read the Holy Quran more so than the Bible.
Well, the first statement you made was that
I'm one of them.
Was that you know of a lot of Muslims that actually go to churches?
Yes.
And when you say church, you mean Christianity. And not a mosque.
No,
are you using those two interchangeably?
No, I have never been to a mosque, but I have friends who feel the same way I feel.
Okay.
Okay. Robert Brown said, "Agree with a longtime listener. Would love to hear you guys tackle this. Which you may be surprised how many black Christians agree with Carson." Wow.
No, I would be surprised.
I would be surprised, period, if they agree with anything.
I've met several black folks that voted for George W. Bush based solely now on his claim of being born again Christian. Based solely on that.
I believe that.
Well, then that's when what you saying, okay. Reverend, that their faith they put that first and when you make that statement, you know, that you're making a real strong belief, people will gravitate towards that opposed to with your the political issues. People lose sight, and a lot of times politicians play on that.
Yes.
They play
God
on that.
God gave you a brain.
Use right. It. And if you allow them to play on that and not listen to what else they are saying, it could be in contradiction of what you actually believe, far as helping, you know, the poor. Mm-hmm. And you're in, is that what God is you know, it's teaching?
It is politically expedient to help the poor. But what is the motive? What is
the
motive
of
helping
the poor? Because the poor ain't getting no help.
But what is the underlying motive? Is the underlying motive is to do that which is just?
No, the underlying motive is to
or is to say that I have done my part or my role or my function as a politician. Just to feed the hungry is not enough.
Right.
It's a matter of why are you feeding the hungry?
Well, if you if you
because they're hungry. I thought
No.
How did they get in that condition he's talking about?
Yeah.
Well, then okay, you when you say feed the hungry, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to give them food or whatever. What you just said, how do you figure out a way to help them so that they are not in that position? If they need some sort of education or mental services or whatever the case may be, how would God want you to deal with that situation opposed to turning a blind eye?
Turning a blind eye.
That's
or
what I'm talking
just
about.
Giving out some crumbs and say you did something. Because if your overall objective is not to have an impact upon the lives
right.
of those whom you have served,
right.
then you're just marching time.
Right. We agree on that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But you do have an impact right away. They're not hungry anymore. But I do follow what you're saying. I was right. just playing with you. Yeah.
We're not hungry at the moment. Yeah. But still, it does. It's, you're not. You are.
But that's socialism, acting. And that's what Republicans don't like. See, what's wrong?
But yet they work towards corporate socialism.
Absolutely.
And socialism for rich folks.
So that's the problem that I'm having. You know, if you're letting the top 1% take their businesses and take their businesses to another country to keep from paying taxes, you know, they're not adding their full share, you know.
No.
And then you turn around.
Well, you lose jobs and people.
You outsource the jobs and everything. You try to close colleges and universities.
Themselves. Right.
Yeah. You know, things that affect the people that you claim that you're representing. And you claiming that you are a Christian, but yet your deeds
exactly.
are not Christian driven.
Are not Christ-like.
So
let me. Chris wants to know how a real Christian could ever vote for a Muslim or atheist.
Well,
hold
Bill
on,
Maher.
Hold on. Say that one more time.
How a real Christian could vote for a Muslim or atheist.
These are just titles. It has nothing to do with real being a human being. I know atheists, people who send people to college. They just don't believe. They don't believe in the message. That's all. And it's not to say that there's something wrong with them. That's something they have to deal with.
I think what Chris is saying, and as a child of God and as a Christian believer, that does come into play as to, okay, is this person that is running for office, are they going to be imposing their religious belief, or if they have no belief, is it going to conflict with what you believe? And I think you do have to take that into account. Not to say that that person cannot be in office, but you do have to take that into account. I mean, just like we're talking about all these so-called political figures, president Republicans that claim to be Christ-like, but end up, like you said, taking jobs away from this country that will cause an impact on people not to be able to feed their families. You do think about that. If this person is Muslim, how would that may possibly impact me being a Christian?
I think I cannot think of the name of the senator, but he's a Muslim, and I think he's from Chicago, Detroit,
and there's one from New Jersey too.
He's
a Muslim. He was on TV last night. That was on TV last night.
And again, it's a matter of
Corey somebody. Corey Booker.
Ifumo. Ifumo. Is it him?
Yeah, I think so.
Kwesi Ifumo?
No. Oh, he's not there anymore. But was he? That's Muslim, right? A Muslim. Okay,
but,
that's
but
Muslim.
I had
no problem with him.
Right. Yeah. But I think the
nobody
issue,
knew.
Right, and that's the difference. Yeah. And like I said, long as what you believe does not impact anybody else, then you're fine, whether you're Muslim. And that even talks about Christian.
Mm-hmm. But what I see...
Because if you want to be atheist, I shouldn't impose what, you know, of course I'd be praying for you, but, you know, what I believe on somebody else.
I think what we need to define is what is a democracy, you know, and I think we're getting away from,
well,
no, I'm
we
not talking about
well,
the panel.
First of all, we're
talking,
not one. We're a republic. Democracy is
a
goal
yeah.
yet to be
absolutely
achieved.
There's no way in the world you could be behind the Republicans and call yourself a Christian when you have a wife and you're saying that certain derogatory things about their body. A man has no right to control a woman's body.
Well, let's do
at
this.
All.
We're going to go to Lynn's Lane filling in this week for Coffee Black.
Leadership, what is really required? So you want to be a leader? Are you really sure about this? Leadership carries heavy responsibility. Vision, confidence, courage, accountability, ethics. Leadership is the action of empowering others towards achieving a goal. If you are a leader, you are aware that this requires constantly exhibiting these characteristics while juggling a myriad of requirements with limited time. Oh, what a challenge! As the leader, you need a vision to set your direction, charting the path of your group, designing the leadership style, identifying key functions and actions to be successful. This all requires up-to-date knowledge and skills. How strong is your backbone? You cannot give in or give out when the going gets tough. Your mantra must be constantly seeking to improve. You steer the organization towards its vision, often requiring major changes. You impact people's lives. You travel in a lane that is ever-changing and fast. Leading the team is so rewarding. However, your lane is so treacherous at times, full of conflict. You must exhibit strong core values, stand tall and steadfast in good times, as well as when your lane is full of traffic. There will be constant changes and challenges. Strong core values and ethics help you clear your lane of this debris. Leaders must be comfortable with change, as it is imperative if your group is to grow. You must execute this change. Feel good about it. Strong leadership requires you to be on top of your game, day in and day out. Your credibility is at stake each and every moment as a leader. How you dress, speak, listen, react, and bring closure to various issues all help to define your leadership style and your brand. Surround yourself with smarter people, hardworking, resilient, a loyal team that aspires greatness. Constantly reinvent yourself. Inspire others. Help them to dream more, learn more, do more. Knock that clutter and debris out of your way with strong principles, hard work, and lifelong learning. This is your job as a leader. And remember, stay in your lane. Thank you, Lynn's Lane.
Advertise with Tanya Free and Friends. Text the word advertise to 63975. That's 63975. Or give us a call at 844-321-1010. That's 844-321-1010.
Hi, this is Chocolate Chip. Love golf? Then we have the perfect tournament for you. Plan to join the Knights of Columbus Council 6457 for their annual Bishop's Cup Golf Tournament Monday, October the 12th. 18 championship holes at the beautiful Stonehenge Golf and Country Club. Sponsorship opportunities starting at $100. Only $320 for a foursome or $85 for a single player. That's Monday, October 12th at Stonehenge. Register today. Call 804-222-1105 to register. And for more info, call today. Slots are filling fast.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device. On your computer. In your ear. And interactive. It's new. It's innovative. And it's on your mobile device. Android. iPhone. iPad. And on your computer. Take us wherever you go. Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Let me clear up something. Carrie says she's disappointed that I agree with Ben Carson. No, I do not agree with Ben Carson. Ben Carson is just across the board Muslim, not at all. I said I do not have a problem with the Muslim as long as Muslim, whether Christianity, do not enforce whatever their belief is. I think we were talking during a break. One of the things when, you know, I don't know if this is Ben Carson's, he's playing to the base. And he's playing to the base where I think the media has painted a very negative stereotype of Muslims, the extremists, yes, and that sort of thing. Yes. Just like we as blacks get painted with a very negative or stereo, you know, typical image of what we are as blacks. They paint us all with the same brush, and that's what has happened to Muslims. They have been painted with the extremist brush. Mm-hmm. And I think I have no problem, let me say this real loud and clear, have no problem with the Muslim being in office, period. I think, you know, whether you're Muslim or atheist or whatever the case may be, have no problem with that. It doesn't affect me as in let's just like being a Christian. If President Obama is Christian and he has that imposed that on anyone else that may be atheist and that he's not, you know, out here, you know, trying to convert somebody to be Christian.
I am.
That's your
and that's
job.
Fine. That's fine. That's your job. Right. I'm just, yeah, right. I'm just you're not president of the United
that's
States.
Why I'm sitting next to you.
Well, you said earlier that a person that you said earlier that a person can do their job, yeah, and still maintain, yes, their religious beliefs.
Yes.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. And we found two congressmen that are Muslim, and that's Keith Ellis, Democratic.
Ellison,
I'm sorry. Democrat in Minnesota, and Andre Carson, Democrat in Indiana.
And you can rest assured that they did not get into those seats or those offices primarily by Muslim votes.
No.
They got in there most likely with some Christian votes.
And people, really, I didn't know it, and probably a lot of people probably don't even know it.
Yeah.
Probably don't even know it.
Yeah.
Well, I think,
and it's okay whether you know it or not. I mean, we do have people that are Muslim that hold political office.
Yes.
You know, like you said, just those two persons in Congress.
They haven't let people know that. That's one of the things. They don't tell everything.
Well, like I said, it could be
easily found out.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the same thing that we're discussing is the same thing that was discussed back in the 60s with Kennedy. He was Catholic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He'd be getting orders directly from the Pope on how to act.
Right, exactly. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal back then. They were sworn in with a Quran.
Okay, they were sworn in with a Quran. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think coming to America and really being a true American, you have the right to the purpose of America in the first place, when the pilgrims came here, was because of political persecution in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this...
Well, religious persecution.
Yeah. And then what I said? Did I?
No, you said political.
Did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Let me finish reading the comments.
You're not wrong though, because
no, I'm over 65. My mind said that, but my mouth didn't. Thanks for the Chris.
Okay. With regards to Carly and Trump, Cameron said, "I think it's time to consider a third party candidate. Do you plan to give them a chance to give their views on the show?" I would welcome a third party, to come on the show and give us some information or educate us about whatever that third party is.
A third party candidate is largely impossible.
It's going to dilute everything.
In this country.
Yeah.
Because there's always...
One or the other.
It's just been set up in such a way where there's a good guy and a bad guy, and you fall on whichever side you want to fall on. A third, it's not designed for that.
Well, it depends on how liberal or how conservative that person is, because it would dilute either one of the two parties.
At the present moment, because the future is unpredictable.
We are living in someone's future, and I'm sure this is not an original idea.
And it's not that I ever came in a third party.
Different political parties way back when. It's just become this now.
But the reality is that these
Jerry
two parties are suffering.
I said Jerry Springer caused it. You pulled everybody out of the trailer park.
Oh, my. Did you know you didn't say that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Let me read. Long-time listener said, these two and the rest should get a clown car and drive away.
Right.
Yeah, I'm tired of Trump now. I really am.
I love listening to him. Organized stupidity. Jeb
Bush, if you watch the debate, he was really nervous at the beginning, and the only thing that I thought gave him a little boost was when he said that his brother kept us safe. And from there,
gave him a boost, and then referred to the rubble scene that his brother said. I'm like, did you really just say that as though?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. He's having a very hard time. He can't follow a script to save his life, and honestly, I really don't think he wants to be president. I really think that he's doing this because of family, his brother and his father, and they want to keep the tradition and that sort of thing.
It's a little but bit
I really don't. I don't. Mm-mm.
Well, he didn't make the money. His parents made the money and gave it to him. He didn't make
right.
any money.
I don't think he wants to be president because he looked like he can't get himself into it.
I thought it was funny when they Bush gave Trump a pound. Though that was hysterical.
That was
funny.
And then Carson and Trump seemed to have been teaming up. They were doing high five. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. And once again, is it me? Is it Ben Carson that seemed like he needs a boost? He needs a Red Bull or something.
He needs a lobotomy.
Really?
Very well put. Very well put.
He's a brain surgeon.
And his brain needs the most work.
Yeah, it sure does. I feel sorry for the guy.
I don't.
Why do you feel sorry for him?
Because, number one, he should know better. He's been prosecuted all his life like we have. His skin is black, just like mine.
I think he lacks common sense. It really does to me.
He lacks common sense to me. Well, you said lack. Mm-hmm. That happens. I have been there before. I know some people who are smart, but they don't. They are asleep at the wheel, can I say
right.
that?
Right, okay, all okay. Right. That's a good one. And I think that...
I resemble that remark on occasion.
I think that Huckabee is dangerous. I think Carly is dangerous. Ted Cruz is dangerous. And
Ted Cruz clearly doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right, that's
most
what I said, dangerous. Dangerous. Either they are lack knowledge or too much of an overkill. I think... Who else? Rubio, I'm not sure about him just yet. He is, Scott Walker had to drop out because he couldn't get any friction. He was trying his best during the debate, but couldn't.
And they wouldn't let a black guy be, they wouldn't let a black guy run for president with a high school education. Why should they let him? He doesn't have any college.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other things. I mean, we're talking about no political experience. Yeah. He has political experience, but
the double standard.
Should that be a requirement? Should being president have a criteria, some job description requirements, some qualifications? Should there be some qualifications?
There are some.
Scott Walker's smart enough to obey his masters in as much as he can.
You're right, Carter. Mm-hmm. There are some. Some are written and some are not written. Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about written ones that we can say, okay, you know, maybe you don't need, you wouldn't need a college degree. I'm okay with that. But high school, yeah, I think at least that much.
And it's written.
You don't think?
It is unwritten. There are some laws that are not documented. It's not on papyrus. But there are some laws that are a part of the fabric of the culture.
Yes.
Well, and shame on us that we do not have a job description, requirements or qualifications, I should say, for being president.
The beauty of this whole conversation is for our listeners.
Well, that was the whole
is
point
the fact is that the things that we're throwing out there, if you guys are jotting this stuff down, maybe we can get them to research some of this.
Well, really, I mean,
and
think about it. Okay, let me ask this
to
question.
Our community.
Do you all think Sarah Palin was qualified to be president?
Absolutely not.
No.
I just think she's cute. Outside of that, I have no need for Sarah Palin.
Okay, brother.
She's cute. She has nothing else going for her. And on one date, I wouldn't call her back.
Yeah, that's.
Come on, man. Now, you know she speaks American.
That's an insult from a feminine standpoint. I mean.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not my fault that the elevator don't go all the cream don't rise to the top.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with gender.
Real Brother says the next white president will highlight how wrong the idiots were about Obama. They will be begging for Eric Holder.
Hold on. Better than that, why is it they can't enlist Colin Powell?
Yeah.
Why? Because I would actually consider voting for him outside of.
Yeah, I would too. And he's a Republican. Like I said, I have no problem possibly considering a Republican, but I want to know what they believe far as the political issues are concerned, how they will handle unemployment, how would they handle bringing jobs here. How would they handle?
Giving
they wouldn't. Back. They wouldn't handle just like they haven't handled a federal minimum wage increase.
Okay, we gotta go. Okay, wow, that went real quick.
Can I plug something?
Go ahead, real quick.
My nephew Michael Hamler is running for Senate. He's up in the Roanoke area. I think it's the 19th district. For all you guys with talk show hosts. Contact Michael Hamler in Roanoke, Virginia. Okay.
All right. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to my listening friends, Van, Reverend Wilson, Jerry, Marcus, Antoinette, Jerry, Coffee Black, Lynn, El Bravador, Roosevelt, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.
Thanks for joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at TanyaFree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day. Post your comments, opinions, and more. All at TanyaFree.com. On air, online, and on phone. Views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or this station. Tanya Free and Friends Radio is a production of Freedom Marketing, Inc. All rights reserved.